Hi there, you're welcome to the Vulnerability Podcast with PCTV. On here, we explore everything that makes us unapologetically human, because everyone has a story or two. Hey guys, you're welcome to another episode of the Vulnerability Podcast with PCTV. As you know already, season 2 is all about sharing the stories of different individuals that's not just your host, and it's been an amazing journey so far. On this episode, we won't talk about adulting. If you know me a little bit, or if you listen to the first season of Vulnerability Podcast, myself and Yvonne, you will know that I could be quite passionate about ranting about being an adult. I feel like I am just coming into the adulting phase, taking responsibility, living alone, paying like a truckload of bills. And you know, and it sucks a lot of times, especially when it comes to like being responsible for other people and spending a lot of money. So I decided that, you know what, I'm not gonna rant about myself anymore this season, but I would like to also get hear the experiences of some other people about how adulting is literally kicking their ass. So we'll hear stories about paying your first rent and knowing that rent is so freaking expensive in Lagos. You hear a few stories about, you know, just bills. You hear a few stories about relationships. This is going to be a lot of rant about what adulting has been like for us, the good, the bad, the ugly, mostly the ugly, and just share the funny rant-ish stories that we can all relate to if you are 21 and above and you're beginning to become responsible for yourself, or you've been responsible for yourself for a while. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this being a very interesting episode. Let's just talk about adulting and how it's kicking our ass. So let's go there.
Hey, hi, peace. So thank you, first of all, for inviting me to share my thoughts on adulthood. I am going to paint two vignettes regarding adulthood and how it's I'm dealing with it personally. The first is about plans and how they are constantly standing on shaky grounds. And the second one is about my new relationship with failure. And yes, I'm just going to jump right into it. I'm glad you said we could rant here. So if I go off on a tangent, I'm sure that is still within the general wheelhouse of what you expect me to share. So I'm just going to jump right into it. The first one, of course, is my understanding of plans and how I'm getting a better grip on how much of a flux they're constantly in. So this is a vignette. In the heat of the pandemic, I was having challenges in Accra here. I just stopped liking everything. I stopped liking my apartment. I didn't feel like I could go anywhere. All my friends were just unreachable. And of course, I wasn't really in the mood to really reach out to anybody because, you know, there is a pandemic. You can't really hang out with anybody. And so in the heat of all that, I told myself, you know what, I'm going to take a sabbatical from my office. And if you know me and you know it's I took a sabbatical, I think that was 2 years ago, last year. Yes, it was last year. And I just told myself, I'm going to take another sabbatical from my office. I'm going to get a 4x4 car, actually a RAV4. I was already about to pay for it. And I'm going to move to Western Ghana, where I was earlier in the year. And, you know, just as I was about to like just finish the plan and tell my boss about it and tell him, you know what, I'm going to leave you for about 3 months. I need to go like just find myself. I need to get comfortable with living as a human person again in the midst of all this mess. And so just as I was about to do that, the morning after that Sunday, I got a call from one of my clients in Nigeria whose account I was managing and was kind of like giving me about 50% of my income. And she told me, oh, they wouldn't be able to keep me on retainer anymore and that they are moving their digital project in-house. And I was just like, fuck. This is the whole point. This was what was going to make me work in this in this, you know, far-flung place in Western Ghana. And of course, I just said, you know what, it's fine, it's okay. Just let me know the standard operating procedure on how you want me to hand over your account and your different platforms to your internal team and blah, blah, blah. And I was broken, but then I was surprised at myself at how well I took it, because immediately I was able to say, great, so you're not moving to Western Ghana. You're going to pay back, you're going to get back your deposit from this person that you've paid for this car and just move right on. And it's just interesting that in a way, I'm realizing again and again that while it's good to plan, it's great to understand that some elements of that plan wouldn't quite come across in the way that you wanted them to, and you just have to give yourself the permission to move on and not, you know, get overly derailed over that. It was a difficult time, but right now I'm back and I'm centered, and in a way just going through that made me appreciate my place in Accra even more, because now I'm like, okay, you know what, it's not such a terrible place to be, Accra. So that's the first vignette, and I think I know my time is already off, so I'm just gonna paint the second vignette real quickly, which is my understanding or my relationship with failure. And one of the things that I'm terrible at for a long time is wanting to be the best at everything. And of course, when you want to be the best at everything, you're constantly comparing yourself with another person. And just recently, I'm getting this deeper understanding to the idea of life isn't about becoming the best at life. It's about becoming the best at one aspect of it. Even the idea of being best is quite ridiculous, but it's about breaking down this idea of life and saying, you know what, this one aspect of it, I'm going to choose to be great at it. Now, while most of us define our being by the jobs we do and what we contribute to the universe, there are so many ways that you can define what it means to be human. Being a lawyer is a good aspect of being human. Being a digital strategist is a good aspect of humanity, but another space that humanity that exists also is listening, is being there for people, is being able to articulate your thoughts, being able to share ideas in a way that other people are able to understand, being able to tell stories, being able to sit quietly in a space and not feel bored with yourself. All those aspects are parts of humanity, and if you can get better at some of this micro expression of humanity, you can see yourself progressing, and it's the goalpost sort of shifts considerably from being a categorical failure, but instead you become failure in some aspects of life and you become an incredibly successful person in other aspects of life. And that has been one of the most comforting thoughts for me, because I'm realizing now that there are some things that I'm no good at and I can learn to be okay at them, but I can also spend some time focusing on the things that I'm great at and just consolidating efforts on those things. You know that I'm constantly learning and experiencing new things. It's kind of like what I'm about as a person. But knowing this, the idea that all of the things that exist in the world give us different opportunities for us to say, I'm a successful person. Just identifying that as being one of the more comforting ideas for me. I know it sounds like you're sort of making things easier for yourself as a human being, sort of adjusting the goalposts in order to make yourself feel good. But I personally think it's a true reflection of the world that we live in, because no matter what you do, there will always be someone better than you. And if you just look at life along that binary switch of success or failure, you will constantly fall short because there is always somebody doing it better than you. What if you focus on specific aspects of life and just tell yourself, I'm going to be good at this, you know, aspect of it, and just continue to find new experiences that you can be good at. It's not about running away from important things. It's really about chasing what makes your heart beat and what makes you feel good about waking up every morning. So I've gone past 5 minutes. I'm sorry. I know you're going to cut this as your way, so go ahead and do that. If you want me to add any sort of coda or addendum to this, I'll be happy to. I'm so proud of you. You are doing amazing work and you are an inspiration. Just, you know, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're amazing.
Oof, that was a long one, but it was very interesting. It was also very sincere. I could tell that this came from a very genuine place. So thank you so much, love, for leaving your entry, for dropping your entry. I really, really appreciate it. There's so many things that you said that I could totally relate with, you know. Earlier this year, I was applying for something. And so there's this deal that I was chasing, and I was like, if this deal comes true, it would solve my problem. I would do this thing with so much ease. I would move, right? It was going to be moving to an apartment. I would move and get my own place with so much ease. And at every point in time, it felt like it was going to come true. It feels like 6 months, yet the deal is still feeling like it will come true. So I made my plans around it, because at every meeting we have, it's like, oh, just give us a few days and it will get to the next stage, and you know, it will go through. Then I would wait, and then I'm like, oh, it's still on there. You know, they're still looking at it. This other person in this apartment is going through. It's over and over and over and over again. And it was really annoying. And not annoying, it was frustrating for me, because I was making plans with that. And eventually I just had to tell myself that, you know what, this thing is not coming true. So let's find a plan B. Let's do something else. We still need to move anyway. So let's find another way to make it work. And if at some point down the line they finally sign on this contract and send me the money, then you'll just be like, oh, at that time it came for something else, and I will use it for something else, or just, you know, do like pay myself back for what I paid for rent. But yeah, it's just one scenario about planning your life out, and that's both something happens here and something happens there, and it kind of just throws you into another tangent. Even also in the height of the pandemic, there was a period when I wanted to crawl out of my skin. I'm very indoorsy, like very, very, very indoorsy. And the kind of indoors it does, I don't like people around. I can go a whole month, right, literally in my house. In that, my house, 80% of it is literally in the room, and I won't have any visitors, and I'm fine. I'm living my best life. But when the pandemic hit and it was locked down in Lagos, that then became hard. I don't know whether it was a mental thing of not realizing that even if I wanted to then go out or invite people over, I couldn't, right? But it was frustrating. There were so many times where the only thing that saved me was just taking a walk, because like, what is this frustration? What is this isolation here? And knowing so many times that I do need a sabbatical. This guy did the sabbatical, I think it was last year. And to tomorrow, I'm still just jealous, because I haven't found the courage enough to say, you know what, just go off work, or tell my boss that, see, you guys should pay me salary, but I need 3 months off. Or just, you know, just give me 3 months on paid leave, and when I come back, let my job still be waiting for me. I have not found the courage to do that yet, but I know that at some point, as young adults, we need to prioritize knowing ourselves, being ourselves, living life to the fullest on our own terms, over just working on a day-to-day to make money. And just, you know, whatever is going to make me feel better, whatever is going to make me going to feel sane and in my space, I need to be able to do that and forget and fuck every other thing. And so why I can't take a sabbatical, or I couldn't yet, or I haven't yet, what helped me with that was moving out and moving into my own apartment and getting this big ass room that just had a lot of space. Literally the only thing is like a bed and a few things. So whenever I wake up, there's just space everywhere. I can lie on the floor, I can walk around, open the windows, but just bask in that newness and in that space, literally in that space, without feeling really cluttered. That's kind of what has helped me in recent times to just go through the disappointment and the up and downs that does go with adulting and sometimes with failure. I was telling a friend just last time how sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves to succeed, to make money, to be productive, to hit all the KPIs. And when it doesn't always go that way, whether it's a fault of ours or it's not, it can throw us completely off balance, right? And as you grow older, we're going to keep experiencing things like that, right? So I think it's a huge part of adulting for me to just keep reminding myself that you need to be centered, you need to be balanced, you need to be at peace, you need to pace yourself and just be able to do all of these things. Anyway, as you can tell, I connected a lot in so many different dimensions to that story, and I've just gone on my own tangent. But let me come back and let's listen to the second story, and I'll be back. Second story is from a lady, and she's going to give us her stories about how adulting is kicking her ass, or just rant about anything that has to do with her being an adult. So let's listen.
I grew up a bit too fast, I would say, because I was eager to do a lot of adult stuff, you know, at a very young age. And so as soon as I turned 18, I knew it was time to go into the world and just become an adult, you know. And that was also the year that I graduated from high school. So, you know, even when there was difficulties getting admission into the university that same year, I made sure it happened. I pressured my parents, you know. I just wanted to leave, you know, my parents' wings and just become an adult, just experience life and, you know, get all that freedom, make decisions for myself, you know, and all of that stuff. And to be honest, it was very exciting, you know, at the time. And I was very, very happy to evolve, you get. And so that happened, and you know, I immediately got into entrepreneurship at that age, and you know, and I got involved in a lot of creative activities and all of that. And you know, in within the next 3 years, a lot of people knew me, a lot of people knew what I was into, a lot of people admired the fact that I was, you know, already handling a lot at a young age, you know, and all of that stuff. And this was at a time where being an entrepreneur at 21 was a big deal. You know, it's not like today that we see 15, 16 year olds who are entrepreneurs. It was a big deal back then. And, you know, I was literally fired up, you know. I wanted to keep doing more and more. And, you know, I happen to be a person who is never satisfied with doing just one or two things, you know. I love to start things, you know. The excitement of starting things gives me a rush. And so, you know, at that point in my life, I kept on learning new skills, going into like new businesses and all of that stuff. And the sad part about all of this was that I could not tell my parents what I was doing, because, you know, my dad would always say that he can afford to give me anything that I wanted, and I didn't need to go into business or become an entrepreneur. You know, they just didn't get the idea of wanting to do business at that age, you know, of wanting to go into business while you're in school. They expected me to focus, you know, on my studies and not, you know, be distracted by anything else. But then, you know, I was studying a course that gave me the knowledge that I needed to excel in business. So it was like, why study and not practice, you know? And so I kept on doing it. I hid it from my parents. You know, after some time, I remember that I opened up to my mom and I explained to her that, you know, I had a passion for this thing and I just wanted to do it, not because I wanted to go against them and all of that stuff. And she agreed, because my mom, you know, was an entrepreneur, so she understood. Fast forward, I think 7-8 years now, and you know, I look back at my life and look back at the loads of things I've done, you know, all of these years. And I'm grateful, you know. The last 10 years of my life has been nothing but adventurous, you know. It's been a learning opportunity and all of that. But then I feel like, having become an adult, I feel like I'm tired, you know. I feel like I'm exhausted, like I've done this for so long and, you know, I just want to rest, you know. Many a time I tell people that I wish I could just take 1 year off, you know, 1 year where I don't do anything, you know, 1 year where I just enjoy life, you know, read books, listen to lots of songs, you know, meet people, create art, just do random stuff, not do anything that is expected of me as an individual or an adult, or, you know, not be expected to like engage in business activities that is primarily for the the sake of making money and all of that. I just want to be me, because honestly, adulting is kicking my ass at the moment. I'm stressed. I have so much to do, so much that needs to be accomplished, so many plans that I need to put in motion. And sometimes I just ask myself, when is this going to stop? Is this ever going to stop? Am I ever going to slow down, or am I just going to keep taking on more and more and more? And honestly, I cannot answer these questions. I'm only just hoping that at some point in my life I would find a balance and be able to I don't know, relax, to calm down, you know, because I feel like all of the things that I was excited to do is now my responsibility, is now my reality. And, you know, it's not as exciting as it used to be anymore, because then I could afford to fail and, you know, stand up and fail and, you know, all of that stuff. I was failing forward, but right now, failing is a lot more scary. You know, I feel like a lot of eyes are on me. I feel like a lot of people are depending on me. So the reality is scary. It is really, really scary. But I'm still doing it and still hoping that I pull through somehow. But to be honest, you know, adulting is kicking my ass. I appreciate it when people see me out there and they acknowledge me and tell me the things that I do right and the things that they look up to me for. But most times I really wish I could tell them that, you know, it's really not as amazing as it looks, because I don't know. I would be a child again if I could. I mean, even if it's just for a short time, I just want to experience and enjoy that luxury of not being an adult, you know? Do you get? Thank you.
I definitely get. Oh my God. See, I know it will sound cliche because I keep saying I relate to the most of the stories, but I promise you, I'm not just saying it for saying sake. I honestly do. This, I feel like this person was sharing my story, my life, my whole life's journey, because there's so many things that she said that it hit me like at the core, you know. She mentioned starting life early, being an adult early. I don't think I had a childhood. I can't remember a time in my childhood that I was super happy and wasn't dealing with one abuse or the other. I can't remember a time when I wasn't looking forward to being an adult so I can take responsibility for my life and I can get the fuck out of where I grew up. I can't remember a time where I didn't put pressure on myself to produce and just be something. I started really doing entrepreneurship when I was 19, but let's say 19, right? And it sounds late, but it wasn't, because prior to that, all I've been doing was trying to find different ways to get out, right? To break out of the norm or what I was used to. And then, you know, digital marketing came and I went for it like a bloody motherfucker. And since then, right, I haven't stopped. Literally, I'm 25 in a bit. Maybe whenever I'm just doing this, I'll already be 25. But I'm 25 in a bit. And in the last 6-7 years, I don't think I have taken a breather. It's just been going and moving and moving and moving. And at first, it was just, oh, this is fun, I like this. But then people come into your space and you start getting attention and you begin to inspire people. And from nowhere, it stops being just self-imposed pressure to being pressure unconsciously by people, because people are now looking up to you, people are looking out for you, people are putting you on a high pedestal. And when you've consistently had big successes every year, at some point you have to just keep it up, you know. And it's crazy and annoying sometimes, because I'm like, how do I let the world down? I don't let myself down by feeling like I let the world down, you know. How do I just be like, see, I just want to do what I want to do, not have any big things happen for me this year, just live life, you know. But there hasn't been that yet. We're still moving and still hustling and still building and still planning and still dreaming. A couple of weeks earlier, prior to this, I woke up, I was thinking about money. I'm almost always thinking about money, to be honest. But I was thinking about money, And I was just thinking about, oh yes, so money's coming this period, I need to save a certain percentage. And I just stopped myself for a bit and said, why are you always thinking about money that you have to save and plan for the future? What about living now? What about just living for the now? What about just enjoying life? Like, if you die, for instance, who uses that money? You know? So I'm now constantly in a state of oh, how do I be a responsible adult that's planning for my future? Whereas how do I also be that person who is who knows how to slow down, who knows how to breathe, who knows how to be focused, who knows how to enjoy herself and literally spend the money that she's making on herself. It's a walking struggle, and I'm honestly not done yet. And just like she and the first person, I do think at some point I want to take a sabbatical. I'll just travel around while working. I don't know. And when she said there's no room for failure, I mean, that's literally what I just said. So the way that adulting is kicking her ass is in the pressure, in the fact that it feels now that the constant state of you have to keep moving. There's a need to keep going, to keep pursuing. Because, you know, when I was 19, 20, I could fail and it wouldn't be a big deal. By the time you get to 25, 27, 30, it starts becoming like, okay, so if you failed now, what do you want to do with yourself? You know, and it's crazy because for me, I haven't had like really big failures, right? I've been very lucky and graceful, you know. It's just been a lot of grace in my journey. But then because of that experience, I'm sometimes living in a constant fear of what if something drastic finally happens, right, in my career, in life. And because I'm not used to handling stuffs like this, I'm not going to be able to handle it, you know. So I need to make sure that I cover all my tracks. I do everything excellently. I stay up at night. I do multiple jobs just to make sure that from different angles, there's a source of income, there's a source of security, stability, that there's just something to hold up. But in the midst of this, I think the most important thing that adulting is teaching me is that, you know, they finish, you know. You know they finish. So why pushing? I'm learning to rest. So I hope that the person who just sent in this entry, you could take a pointer from this. I'm literally learning to just slow down, to just be like, see, nobody's pursuing me, so fuck it. You know, just take a breather, chill, shut down from all the things you're doing that you can, except maybe the basic thing that brings in money because you need to live and pay bills, and just chill and recenter. And the last couple of weeks, I've tried to do that, you know, just be in love, be in my house, work, sleep, have sex, chill, just literally just be. Because as we more we grow older, the more we keep getting that pressure to excel, to produce, to be responsible. So enjoy your life, you know. Anyway, again, I've spoken a lot because this adulting episode is it's such me. I'm constantly dealing with a mountain of stuff by just trying to be an adult. But anyway, let's listen to entry 3.
Adulting for me was a struggle because I didn't have a plan and I didn't have funds, and the temptation to run back to my parents' house was a constant torture. I had a different expectation. I just thought I was going to get a job, take courses from time to time to update my CV, and keep getting better jobs. I'll save some money, you know, from the salary I already thought I was going to get after one month of moving out of my parents' house. I'll be making, you know, enough to get an apartment, maybe buy myself a car, and still live the baby girl life. I didn't go for youth service by choice because I had a different plan for myself. So nobody told me it was going to be different and difficult, basically. I probably would have planned, but from what I know now, growth is never planned. There are challenges, pauses, and stops that will send you back to your drawing boards because there's obviously a new iOS on your journey to adulting, so you have to update. I thought everything would have happened for me in a year at most. Dreamer, right? I was that sure and confident because I thought I knew people and I felt entitled to them coming through for me because I was once there for them. But it takes long, or it didn't take long at all, before I realized I was on my own. All my ginger melted away and reality set in. I moved in with a friend into a house with no light or water in a crazy location. God damn it. And I was very jobless. When I mean very jobless, I mean I was jobless and I didn't have a job that I thought I could do. Like, I had zero knowledge of what I was going to do. Anyway, myself and my housemate, we shared clothes and she even gave me money sometimes. So because there was no light and water, I'll go to another friend's house during the day to charge my phone, eat and spend the day till my housemate go back from work at night. Fast forward 4 months later, I got my first job. Actually, I got my first internship. I worked only at night for 9 months straight with no retainer or pay. Second job free, third job free, fourth job, and so on and so forth. But my first ever paid job was supposed to be 20,000 naira. But they paid me 10K for reasons that didn't concern me. I did everything I could to make money. I started working with that friend I used to charge my phone in her house just so, you know, she would pay me some money. And I was grateful because, you know, I was also learning from her. She would give me some cash, you know. I learned the music business, I learned PR, I even became like a marketer. I was that good. I started brand influencing after a while. I even sold on Instagram, but I wasn't happy and I wasn't earning enough for my upkeep, not to talk of getting the dream apartment I always wanted and the car, and also to live the baby girl life. There were times this baby girl couldn't afford sanitary towels or body lotions. There were times I couldn't go out because I couldn't, you know, afford cab or, you know, bike to take me to the junction where I'll take the bus. There were times I couldn't eat my lunch because I thought of it like, dinner, you have to eat and sleep. So your belly will not be going great. It sounds like you're farting in the middle of the night. But I was determined to actually see it through and not run back home. So trying to live and not just exist at the same time as adulting is still a challenge for me. Having a social life, trying to create time for my family, taking courses, networking, and communicating with the people I have networked with. So it is not a waste. Keeping up with the new friends and the old ones I have left, because, you know, I lost almost all my friends trying to adult. And at the same time, trying to get peace of mind, the right hygiene, and still have a glowing skin is so hard to achieve at the same time as adulting. It's something I'm still battling with because communication is still a big deal for me. It's a problem, actually. So I was becoming bitter, I lost my self-esteem, I looked and felt like shit, I started harming myself, I felt like the universe was against me. All I did was feel pity for myself and I just hung around waiting for something or a miracle. But one day, one fateful day, I looked at the mirror and out of shame of who I was or I saw, I had a conversation with myself. I started to question myself, I started to ask myself, do you really know who you are? Is this the person you were saying was going to pursue a light and you were bragging and leaving your father's house like 1 year later, Emagba? Are you proud of what you have become? I got so mad at myself and that was it. All I did was cry, weep, wail, and I was done and nobody told me sorry because I was the only one in the house. So I got up, cleaned myself up, promised to stop feeling pity for myself and making moves. I started asking the right questions from the right people. I networked more, worked on my confidence, literally pushed myself and put myself in uncomfortable situations I needed to be. That was when I knew I grew. I was done waiting for it to be handed to me. I started to get things myself. I stopped playing the behind girl and got in front for everyone to see that I was present and ready. Fast forward 3 years and a half later, I have my very own apartment, even if my heart is racing. As I begin to think of the next rent and also the cost of appliances I need, do you know how much a generator is? Or AC, because I want to use AC, not fan. But anyway, cost of living, not splitting bills with anybody, the responsibility of managing an apartment by myself. Plumber is charging me for workmanship and things he will buy to fix something. Still, I'm looking at the bright side and thankful I wouldn't pay agency an agreement the following year. I still do not have a generator yet. But I have a place I can call mine. I have water and light this time around. All my clothes are mine. Baby steps that I'm proud of, actually. I have a job now that I love, even if the pay now, may God no shame us. I'm happy with where I am because I know every stage in my adulting had a part to play in my life. I'm Yoruba, and we Yorubas have a thing for respect, and we take age difference seriously. But now when I see younger people doing great things, I move closer, I submit myself, and I learn. Adulting humbled me, it made me unlearn and relearn. It taught me that this life not just balance. At times when I get so angry with how people treat me, or the amount of no's I had to accept even when I know it should be a yes, or when I get too squeezed and I feel like giving up, I feel like, you know, someone or some people aren't deserving of me, I quickly remind myself that anointing doesn't bypass process, it binds you to it. Anointing didn't take David straight to the palace, it took him back to the sheep pen. It's actually very dangerous to be king without first being a keeper, which I interpret to be. It's dangerous to be released without bearing responsibility. So I know I had to learn the ropes to own my rope. That's me. I had to first be molded, grounded, and humble before catching up on my purpose. So yeah, adulting sure kicked my ass, but it kicks me into a better version of me.
Oh shit! Ah! This entry was all shades of deep. But it was so good. I'm pretty sure that you guys can relate, right? For a lot of us, the journey to where we are right now hasn't been all rosy, right? I sometimes sit down and just think about the last
couple of years of my life, living Benin City, going for service, moving to Lagos, just the movement up until here I am. And I don't even think I could have imagined it, the good and the bad, but I'm grateful for it. You know, we're not where we want to be, but at least we've come far from where we used to be. And this is just the summation of the story that we just heard. It was beautiful in so many ways. You know, the talking about the expectations that you have when you're leaving home, or when you just graduate from school, or you're just done with NYC, about how easy it will be to get your first job, you know, how nice people will be at your job, and then you have toxic bosses, you have shitty pay, you know, you have to, there are times when you get to a point where you have to be humbled. There was something that Debola said in one of the previous episodes, Starting Over, where he said that when you go to the ground, you then realize that the only thing that can help you is humility, right? And that's what adulting will teach you in different ways, that sometimes you just have to be humble and learn from the people around you. And then when you get to that point where it becomes easier, it becomes better, you get a good job, or at least you get a job that puts food on your table, you have friends, you begin to see yourself in a different light, your self-esteem comes back, and then you now say, okay, you know what, I'm gonna get an apartment on my own. Hey, living alone, especially living in Lagos, it's no child's play. You know, you're paying rent, and just when you begin to settle down from that rent that you've paid, give yourself like 3 months to get yourself back together, you now realize that, hey, the rent is full. I have to start saving up again. It's just a very vicious cycle. But hey, that episode was, I think it was deep in so many ways, like I said earlier, and just really beautiful story. Summation of, we've come far. Regardless of where you are, you've come far. The good and the bad that you've dealt with, but there's still more to go. Adulting would kick you, mold you, break you, and end up pushing you where you're supposed to be, pushing you into the place you're supposed to be. Guys, let's listen to the final story from this dude who starts off literally ranting. Like, he just went off. Listen.
Adulting. Well, as we all agree, it's a scam. But I think what makes it the biggest scam in Nigeria, of course, which is my context because of where I live, is the fact that there's already a social cultural construct as to what defines an adult and as to when your adulting should start. So you see people getting married at 21, 22, 23. Not that if you want to get married at 23 is wrong, oh, you can't, oh, up to you men. But since we all know that marriage comes with so much responsibility, I kind of feel like just chill before you do that. But anyway, it's up to you. The point is, adulting for me, I think right now what's happening in my life is the reverse. I spent my late, like my 17, 18, 19 to 25 being an adult. And now, between my 26 and 30, because I'm 29 now, it's like I'm chilling now, which I should kind of like, I do, I should have been chilling until 2023. I'm not using my 2023 to chill. So I think that it is my realization of when my adulting started is when I look back to the kinds of things I did with my life and the kind of pressure that I put myself under. So, well, adulting scam, yes, no, I don't know. But what I'll say is, there's no pressure. Live your life. Define your happiness. Do you, okay? I mean, that is, at the end of the day, what's mostly important. I remember when I was going to get my first apartment. Jesus. And I went from place to place, you know, and I'm like, I need to get a house. And I want to get a house on the island, you know, from Lekki, VI. And when they were telling me the rent, I said, are you even kidding me? Are you kidding me? Quack. What are you saying? Why can you tell me that this is the amount to live in a one bedroom? Is this a palace? Are you joking? And then these places you are going to are flooded. There is no clean water. And they are telling you that you have to pay 1.7 million. Ogun wants to kill people. What's going on? I think that experience of getting my first house, adulting kicked my fucking ass. Because at the end of the day, Melga, I had to borrow to get the house. That's how the adulting flooded me. I wasn't ready. That was my first experience with adulting. Another experience with adulting that I had, one more, the girl broke my heart. Jesus! I used to think it was all about love. That just be a good guy, know how to talk, be a fine boy, you know. And then I met this girl and I was in love. Hey, whoa. And I spent more. In the first 5 days of meeting this babe, and hanging out with her, I spent in excess of 200,000 naira in 5 days, you know, having fun, tripping, and I was paying all the money, not knowing that I had met island girls. Hey, on this island. You know, so that was the second experience. And then this girl, she dumped my wretched ass when I lost my job at that time. And like, is this life? You know, so yeah, that was like another major way that adulting kicks my ass. So yeah, I mean, I can probably tell you lots of my experiences, professionally speaking. You know, you're starting out, you have a great idea, you feel like you're ready to take on the world, and then you get into the space, and then you give you feedback. You're not even professional. You are not even okay. What do you think you are doing? You know, so yeah, adulting has kicked my ass in several ways. But the main thing that also comes with adulting is being able to pick up yourself and just continue and continue and continue.
The main thing that comes to adulting is just being able to continue and continue and continue. It can kick you left, right, and center in 7,000 different ways, but you have to stand up and continue and continue and continue and continue. That was such a very funny entry. I totally enjoyed listening to it. Dude was just ranting. It's like he was waiting for an opportunity to just share, and then the opportunity just came on. Anyway, so that was really cool. The first thing he said was it was very important because we grew up, and especially in society, in the context that we live in, there are lots of expectations. You know, go to school, do NYC, get a job, get married, have kids. And for some of us, we some people go through that path. Some people love that path. For some of us, we end up having to break out from it, and we find that there's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of negative vibe. There's a lot of battle against all of that stuff, and you have to go through it. But I mean, it's getting to this point where we are, like you said, where you look at your life in retrospect and say, you know what, I need to get to the point where I begin to do the things I want to do. I have to be able to live my life in my own terms. For some of us, we start so early doing all the right things, and you get to one point, you just hit your breaking point. So wherever you are, I think whatever path you take, I just want to do the things I want to do. I want to be the person that I am. I want to be who I am for me. I want to enjoy myself because, again, it's life not one, you know. And then talking about rent in Lagos. God. So looking for an apartment, right, a couple of weeks, several months ago. And, of course, I was going to be living on the island. God. And then, unfortunately for me, I had huge expectation. I had an exact picture of the kind of place I wanted. One, it has to be on the island. It can't be further than Jakonde, which is 4 to 1 about. Three, it has to be a fine house, inside and outside. Two, it had to have space. Like, I like space, not just having my own space, but literally let it be big. Let it have space for me to walk around, especially times when I feel like I'm closing in. Space always helps. And then, of course, it had to be within my budget, which was just okay. God. I have seen agents, gone to all the sites. My friend and I have driven round areas. You will see some. The inside looks good. Enter inside, is a cubicle. You will see the ones that are good and are really nice. It will be like 10 times your budget. Like, I gave up so many times. The only reason why I kept going back to look for a place was because I really needed a place. And it took me almost a year. The first time I found one, I didn't get that one. It took me another 4 months to recover from that first bad break. So now I finally start searching for it again, but it's such a mess. And then when you now go through the point of, okay, I finally found a house that I like. So you now want to pay rent. You now pay rent, pay agency fee, pay legal fee. You now think that it has ended. Then it becomes furnishing. See, paying rent was easy. Service charge, legal charge, all those things was easy. The hard part was furnishing. Then you now have great taste and know what you want. You will now start looking for artisans or interior decorator. Next thing you know, 100k, 200k, 300k. Furnishing was I didn't expect it to. I don't know why, but everything is expensive. Light bulb, expensive. Bed, mattress, expensive. Rug, expensive. What the heck? Then, okay, you now go through it. You now start living in the place. Light bill, water bill, cleaning bill. Something will not spoil. You now have to eat. It's oh my God. Anyway, it's living alone has been a different level of adulthood for me. It has In fact, it's now I realize that, you know, I'm really an adult because these bills every month, it's a different ball game. It's a different ball game, guys. But we're going through it. It's what we wanted. It's what I wanted. I remember two or three weeks into when I moved into my place, and then I just realized that, oh my god, light has finished after being on the 10K. Hey god. My friend was around and I was recording videos that day, and I just went into the studio and I just cried because, like, what the heck? It's just been like back to back, and you know, you get to this point and you realize it literally never ends, right? It just keeps going and going and going and going and going and going. But then you have to chest it. As he said, it's really about just continuing and continuing and continuing. I won't even talk about the love part because there's an episode where I compiled the stories of love and pain. And I think that episode has done justice to all the basketballs that I and probably everybody else listening have probably dealt with, have felt before. So listen to the episode when it comes out, or if it has already come out, I don't even know which one is coming out first, but it's love and pain. And I promise you, we basically deal with everything that we've dealt with when it comes to relationships and love and pain and heartbreak and all that stuff. But that's it, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode. It's the Vulnerability Podcast with PC Timmy. Here we explore everything that makes us unapologetically human. Season 2 has literally just been about sharing the stories of everybody, because we are all relatable human beings and our stories can be felt by each and every one of us. So, as you know, send me a DM on Instagram at @thevulnerabilitypodcast. Or send me an email at email address is vulnerabilitypodcast@gmail.com, or send a voice note on Anchor, or leave a review or a comment on any of the podcast platforms that you listen to, or you know, just tweet at me at PCTimmy on Twitter. But I really, really would love to hear your stories on this episode, because I know that if not for anything, if we don't have stories to share for the other episode, this one is something that we can literally all relate to. So we can send me an email, tweet at me, PCT me, send me a DM at the.vermgpodcast, send an email, vermg@gmail.com. You know how to do this thing now. Also leave a review. But hey, thanks for listening. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Vulnerability Podcast. You can send us an email, vulnerabilitypodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at @the.vulnerabilitypodcast. Follow your host at Peace Itimi on Twitter and Instagram. This episode was edited by Feifei and is available on all podcast listening platforms. Kindly rate, share, and review.